All right, so we see in Acts that there's a way that God interacts with the church that is something that many of us don't really know, or you can even say like, because like last week when we sent off Benjamin, you know, it's a place where you get placed on a spot and people pray for you and send you off into something that you are just, you know, and the people that's around you see it, do something that God has laid in your hearts. Now, the last while, I've been reading a reading plan. I've got a reading plan doing the Bible in a year, because I've never read the Bible cover to cover. Okay, I've tried a lot of times, but this time I'm going to get it right. I'm almost halfway there. So I've done my Leviticus 1. Now, for many of us, you know, when you go through Leviticus, it's like, one thing that I saw in Leviticus, and I'm preaching on it this morning, is that, not that, but there's something else that I see as well, but I'm preaching on Leviticus as well, is the meticulous nature of the things that are recorded there. It is mind-blowing. Very frustrating. But it is mind-blowing when God tells Moses something for the 12 tribes of Judah, of Israel, then for every single tribe, they say the same thing over and over and over and over again. It's amazing. And Judah came and brought this and 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 this to the Lord. And then Ephraim came and this and this and this and this. The same thing. And it is so meticulously recorded. And I'm like, God, there's something of that. Okay, obviously my personality has got no clue. Some of your personalities have got more of a clue. But the thing is, you know, I went to some fancy old buildings in Europe when my wife and I went there in 2012. And, you know, there's a meticulous nature of those buildings that has been done in such a glorious way that many people have written about it and said that in today's time, those types of buildings that took like 50 or 60 years to construct will not be able to be done today. Not because we cannot do it, but because of our culture of everything is instant, it needs to happen now. And just shortcuts and all of those things. So, you know, one of those, I don't know, the big guys of yesteryear, he was making something for a temple, and then he was making a joint or a pole thing that where there's like awesome detail in it, but he's making it on the bottom side and on the top side, and the top side was going to be covered with a roof. And the people came in and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Nobody's going to see that the top side has got all this detail on it." And then he answered, "I will know, and God will know." And it was that thing and the meticulous nature of Leviticus. And I'm thinking, God, there's something that we as a culture have lost. Because if God tells you something, it is an effort and a strain for us, like the words came today, to go through the seasons. God, can you just speed it up, please? That's how we operate. Okay, God, fix me. Fix me. I want to do stuff for you. God wants us to get to that place where He can meticulously work through us in a way that glorifies Him. It's not always so wonderful for us. So, back to Leviticus. I'm reading this, all of these things, and then I'll say she is a little bit ahead of me in her plan. The Val is 6 days behind at the moment, and now is 12 days ahead. But she said she's finished with Leviticus, and it's great, out of the way. And when I read this, I'm like, God, this is great stuff. Because I read there, and it's a lot. You can go and read in Leviticus 8 and 9. So I've got a lot of scripture here, but I'll try to paraphrase it for you and then just show you the highlights. So God is telling Moses to institute and to get the Levitical priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood obedient. So God has given him all these meticulous instructions of how this should happen. So God spoke to Moses, and now Moses is speaking to Aaron in Leviticus 8. And he's telling Aaron exactly what God said, and there's, you know, go and read it. They must take this part of the thing and do this with it, and they must take this blood and sprinkle it there, and then take their thumb. And to be a priest in those days, that was just my doctor to be. It was crazy, the things that they needed to know and remember, because there's a little disclaimer there. If they didn't get it right, they would die. Unfortunately. Okay, but God is very gracious. I don't think too many of them died, but some of them did. Profaning, you know, some of Aaron's sons actually that brought, you know, strange fire before the Lord. They died. But anyway, so he's doing all of this and he's telling it to Aaron. And let's just go there to the scripture that I put up there from Leviticus 8. Next one. Artu. Oi! Then Moses took some anointing oil and the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and on his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire, and you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your ordination are completed. For it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days. Hallelujah. Performing what the Lord has charged, so that you will not die. For so I have been commanded. And Aaron and his son did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. Okay, so I did not lie. They were going to die. They didn't get it right. So now I'm thinking, this is just the thing that got me when I read this. God speaks to Moses to tell Aaron stuff. And he does it meticulously. But the first time the things need to be done, Moses does it. Okay? So God speaks to Moses. Moses talks to Aaron. And then Moses shows Aaron what he needs to do. That's wonderful. That is discipleship, people, right there. Okay, we need to get our heads around that in the year to come. We need to get back to a place of discipling is not saying and then sending people to go and do it. No, discipling is saying to people, listen, this is how you do. Showing to people, this is how you do it. Being with people to see how they do it. And then you say, go do it. Net een amen so gewerk het vir my, maar dis fine. Los it, los it. Because in our culture that has lost that meticulous way, it is an effort to disciple people. Trust me. Especially if all your hard work seems to be going down the drain. Sometimes, not always, sometimes. That doesn't doesn't give us the right to stop discipling people. Okay? So we must disciple them in that place. So that is what Moses did. Next one. So now Aaron is doing this. Aaron is now the one, and Moses is there as well. So Aaron is doing what Moses told him and showed him. Now Aaron is doing. Then he killed the ox and the ram and the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people. And Aaron's sons handed him the blood and he threw it against the sides of the altar. But the fat pieces of the ox and of the ram and the fat tail and that which covers the entrails and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver, died ek baie keer gelees. And the long lobe of the liver, in those scriptures there is a lot of the long lobe of the liver. They put the fat pieces on the breasts, and he burned the fat pieces on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh, Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from the offering, from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses, okay, and this is where you must wake up if you fell asleep through Leviticus. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out and they blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. So let's just stand there for a while. Discipling. God speaks to Moses, the leader. Moses speaks to Aaron. Listen, this is what God said you must do. Aaron sees Moses do it. Aaron does it. What didn't happen was when Moses did that thing and showed it to Aaron, no glory. Okay? When Aaron did it, like God commanded Moses to do it, massive glory. And this is just the base that I want to take us from in the Old Testament for the apostolic way that we're going to in the New Testament now. And that's where I started on last week, but because of time constraints and Benjamin's long-windedness, hallelujah, we missed them. First time they're not here on a Sunday, but they are in Shofar Windhoek this morning. Okay, so they made it to Windhoek. They're going to stay there for a while. He's translating our Encounter 1 into French. And then when he's done that, then they're going to leave from Windhoek. Anyway, so that's where they're at. So that's the base that we work from. And when we go on to Acts 6 now, remember that. Because the apostolic way in the New Testament actually has got a lot of, when you see it, you know, pointing back to that. Acts 6, in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Grecian Jews began to grumble against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 summoned all the disciples and said, "It is unacceptable for us to neglect the word of God and to order to wait on tables. Therefore, brothers, let us select among you 7 men confirmed to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will appoint them this responsibility to them and devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word." This proposal, they pleased the whole group, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, as well as Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, all of those people. And they presented these 7 to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Okay, God spoke, yes, and they came and they prayed, laid their hands on them. So the word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem grew rapidly, and a great number of priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, so what I want you to see here, because I've got more time now, is one of these guys, Stephen, and we're going to continue now. His story goes on after this. One of these guys, Stephen, he's got a passionate heart for baramartigheid or whatever the widows, you know, his heart was that. And the people saw it in him. And God confirmed it as well. So he was there, and then the apostles laid their hands on the apostolic way. They laid their hands on them, they prayed for them, and then anointed them, and then sent him with the others to do what? To wait tables. Okay? Let's not miss that. The pastor said, listen, we can't leave the prayer and the ministry of the word to go wait tables. But this is what these guys did. So when you think of Stephen, you don't think he's a minister of the word, he's a ministry guy, whatever. He did that while he was doing his work. But this was a career man. He had a different job. Like we understand job. He was doing something else. Now he was appointed to do this work, this waiting tables for the widows and those things. So, in this place where he was appointed to do that work, we read the following from verse 8. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing what? While doing his work in that and then waiting tables, like it was said, he was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Because of that, great resistance arose from what was known as the synagogue of the freedmen, including the Syrians, Alexandrians, and men of the province of Cilicia and Asia. Okay? And they began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up to the wisdom or the Holy Spirit by whom he spoke. Hallelujah. And then they prompted some men to say, "We heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they're stirring up the people to get to Stephen, to shut him up. Okay? You can just go and see in the news today, this thing is starting to happen more regularly. When the truth comes, there's a whole cahoots to shut up the truth. And accusations, and lies, and nonsense. I'm excited the way we're going. But, there's a but there. I'm excited, but we need to be ready. Okay, so, they prompted that, and they stirred up the people, and then they seized Stephen. They brought him before the Sanhedrin, you know, the religious crowd. And they presented false witness who said, "This man never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place," the temple, but Jesus spoke about his own body, "destroy this place and change the custom of Moses handed down to us." And all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen. And then, look at this. And they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The glory of God was on that man. And Stephen was a working man, you know that. So, when it comes to the apostolic way, for us as parents, for us as leaders, for us as church, we need to get our heads into that space again. So that when you and I think about ourselves and what we do, because I hear it a lot, you know, not just in our church, you know, churches, you know, there's a projection of the ministry to the pastor and the dominee. And then, you know, in extreme cases, they say, "But I pay you to do that." And then I'm like, "Okay, cool. You know what you really pay me for?" In Ephesians, it says, us, you know, these people with mics in their hands, no. But anyway, the full-time ministers, they are there for equipping the saints, which are you, to do the work of the ministry. So fine, you pay me for what? For equipping you to do the work of the ministry. So get your head away from that space of, you know, I'm just doing a normal job. You know, one of the best insults you can give a pastor is, "Why don't you get yourself a real job?" And then I'm like, "Yeah, why don't you come and do this job for a month?" And then we speak again. Anyway, so now I'm not bitter. So sorry, nothing. I'm so blessed. You know, God is just so awesome. I love my job. I love it. Jegamarai insults hoy for me. It doesn't faze me at all. Okay? I've been called to do this ministry and I'm doing it because I love it, because God has anointed me to do it. Anyway. And I've been prayed for and laid hands on. Anyway. So, when we get here, we see this man doing a work that you would say in today's time is like a wereldse werk, a worldly job. But because of the gift that is inside of him, and he understands that place, him being appointed and prayed for, the Holy Spirit working in him, he is changing the world, people. He is really changing the world. You know what revival talk that we've got? Yes, things are starting to look up in revival terms. But you know, we're still so stuck in our culture ways that when we look at revival now, it's all of these nice things. You know what a true mark of godly revival is? There's a couple of things you can take out. One, persecution. Not like, you know, saying bad things against you. Killing you. for the truth that you are speaking, then you know God is moving. Go to the church in Iraq. They are booming because they are being killed for the truth in them. But the church is growing. Anyway, so yes, I'm excited about revival, but are we ready for that? So Stephen was one of those people working and changing the world, and then all of these guys that didn't like what he was doing came and accused him, lied about him, and then, you know, just shoved him before the Sanhedrin, and then they killed him. I'm going to read the rest of the story. I'm just paraphrasing for now. As they stoned him, he was there being stoned, and then he said this final thing. He said, "And I'm seeing Jesus, the Lamb of God, standing before the right hand, at the right hand of the Father." So one of those cool things. Jesus, in that vision, you can interpret like the way you want, but he was so excited. He was not, what does Scripture say? Scripture says Jesus has been seated at the right hand of the Father. And then when Stephen sees him, he's standing at the right hand of the Father. That's so cool. Jesus is almost honoring. Look what my son is doing. That's a cool thing. But anyway, so Stephen willingly lays down his life. He knows this is what has to happen. And then another guy there named Saul. It was not Paul yet. Saul. All of those Sanhedrin people, they went and they threw their clothes at him. They said, "Light, you go and do this." Anyway, those were the seeds sown for him to get saved, I think. And then lastly, and this I concluded with, then that Saul became Paul. And he did a ministry trip, and I spoke last week just quickly about this. And they traveled through the whole island as far as Paphos, and they found a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named by Jesus, an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. And the proconsul, a man of intelligence, summoned Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that was his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked directly at Elymas and said, "O child of the devil, the enemy of all righteousness, you are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the ways of the Lord? Now look, the hand of the Lord is against you, and for a time you will be unable to be blind and be unable to see the light of the sun." And immediately a mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul saw that what happened, he believed, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So, getting to this place of laying our lives down and all of that, we are going to have wonderful things happen through us. But I want us this morning to see one thing. In Moses' life and all of the people that came after him in this apostolic way, there's one thing that they all have in common. They are humble at the word of the Lord. They are truly humble. You know, and there's a difference between false humility and humility. False humility is not being what God said you must be. No, I can't be that, you know. Then you are false. Then you're full of pride, actually. You need to get prayed for. But if God told you, this is who you are, Deval, and you are not that, you're in a bad space. Sort your heart out. If God has said, Deval, you are a pastor, be a pastor. Don't be silly. Be what God has called you to be, so that you can have the anointing of the Holy Spirit work through you where you are, wherever your job is, because God has given you that thing. So going into this week, and especially in cell groups, I want us to get back to that place where every one of us, for the work of the ministry, in other words, how do my influence sphere, how does the preaching of the gospel, the working of miracles and with the Holy Spirit and all of those things, how does this relate to me? What is my understanding of what God is doing through me? That's what I want us to speak about this week in small group. How did God anoint you? What do you feel God told you? And share it in your group. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we are just so full of ourselves.
I am a prophet, man.
Which is fine.
Then tell it to the people. You know what's a great thing about that? Now you're accountable to those people. And if you prophesy and none of those things are accurate, then we're going to say, listen, come back here. It seems to be like you are not a prophet, like you say.
But we do see this. Whenever somebody is in need, you are the one that cares for them. So you are more gifted that way.
Let's pray for you for that. No, but I want to be a prophet.
Let's pray for you for anointing in this place, because that is what we see in your life. And if you start to be not stupid, and you walk in that place, miracles and awesome things will happen to you. And yes, you will be prophetic and wonderful things will happen. But we need to get to that place where we start walking in our apostolic mandate. What did God say? Did somebody pray for you, lay hands on you, so that you can do what God said you must do? And then the biggest one is, are you humble? Is it about you or is it about God? Now, are you willing to lay that down before the people of God and say, this is me. Pray with me. Walk a road with me so that God can raise up godly leaders that will change this world through wherever we are. Okay? Even if it's to the ends of the earth. So let's stand this morning, and I want to pray for us. Father, thank you that you are the Lord that appoints, the Lord that places people, the Lord that calls people, the Lord that anoints people, the sovereign Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that we will start walking in that place where we listen and we hear and we see what you are doing, God. And Lord, that we as a people, your people, can come together, Lord, and just pray for one another. Lay hands on one another, God, so that we can be effective in the work that you have called us to do. Father, I pray, Lord, for a humility in our hearts, Lord. To say, this is what I feel God is saying, but I'm not sure. Will you pray with me? Will you walk a road with me? So that we can see that the fruit of what God has said is in my life. So that I don't work at a place of presumption, presuming that I am. I want to be what God has called me to be, but I want to do it in humility. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be like that. Because, God, this world is hungry outside. This world outside, God, needs you. They need your power, God. They need your love, Lord, God. They need all of those things, and we have it. But, God, we want to go out there effectively, Lord. And wherever you've placed us, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would know that we have been anointed, Lord God, to go and to influence and to touch the people that are there for your kingdom. And Lord, that we will stand in that place and be like Stephen, God. That we would be so surrendered, Lord God, to the work that you've placed in us, Lord God, even though we do some other job. God, that your glory will shine on us. Lord, that people will look at us and see your face is shining like an angel. But Father, we need you, Lord, to come and open our hearts to receive. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would start getting that right, Lord. That we would start walking in the apostolic way, Lord, more and more. And that you can increase, Lord God, just the things and the wonderful things that we read, God, through us. And Lord, that all the glory of that will go to you. None to ourselves, God. In Jesus' name.